Welcome to the Speaking Podcast. You can find all our episodes on speakingpodcast.com or also on BitChute and on YouTube. I also have the Meditation Podcast, the Awakening Podcast, and the Learn Polish Podcast, and all can be found on freedombroadcasters.com. Today, my guest is a preacher from Florida. Please welcome Ryan Sweat.
How's it going?
Very good. Yourself?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay.
You're in a warmer part of the country than me anyway at the moment.
Yeah, it's a little bit warmer. I like the cool weather. So it's actually a little bit cool today. Fahrenheit 50 degrees. So it's nice and brisk outside.
Very good. So I always like to, you know, let people know who's Ryan to the audience.
Yeah, I'm from Florida and grew up in Florida, lived in Florida my whole life, born in Miami and kind of moved around. But right now we're located in Jacksonville, which is Northeast Florida, and married for almost 6 years and have two daughters. And my wife's name is Karen. My daughters are Sinclair and Aspen, and they are 3.5 and 10 months old. And I'm a pastor at a church called Beach Church in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. So we're right on the coast, right on the Atlantic. And I've been preaching and speaking for about 8 years now. Went to Florida State University, did not major in anything to do with preaching, pastoring, speaking, majored in sport management and business, but things kind of took a direction to where I am now. And so, yeah.
Very good. And like keeping it professional as always, I saw in your profile about Chick-fil-A. I'm just curious what that's about.
Chick-fil-A,
yeah.
Have you ever heard of it?
It's an American franchise chain, yeah, with chicken, yeah.
Yeah, it's so I'm really passionate about it. It's kind of one of those places that's like a kind of like a cult like following that people if you're a Chick-fil-A fan, it's like big thing to you. But it's a chicken place and they have chicken sandwiches and waffle fries and all kinds of sauces and sweet tea, which is a Southeastern United States thing that really is not very popular in other places, but just sweet iced tea, very, very sweet. Leaves sugar on your teeth when you're done drinking it. And I go there all the time. I'm pretty obsessed with it. Although unfortunately during COVID, they're only drive-through and I hate the drive-through. So it's been a tough result of COVID for me, but I still go through the drive-through anyway.
Very good.
And I've raised my daughters to love it as well. So they're always asking me, or the 3.5-year-old's always saying, can we go to Chick-fil-A? Can we go to Chick-fil-A? And all that. So
I heard somebody recently, they were asking them what was Popeye's favorite food. And the person said chicken.
Yeah. Well, there was kind of a social media thing last year. It was like a back and forth between who had the better chicken sandwich, Popeye's or Chick-fil-A. And so it was this big fake Twitter controversy.
Very good. Like, I'd like to know your journey to get in, because you said it wasn't planning to get into the preaching, but your speaking journey. I mean, from, you know, being in school, were you the shy type or were you always outgoing and speaking in front of people?
So my dad is a pastor and has been a pastor since before I was born. So I grew up watching my dad speak and preach every single Sunday and other times during the week. In some places, I'm still kind of this way, but in some places, especially through the end of high school, I would be very outgoing, very loud, center of attention. And then sometimes I'd be very reserved, introverted, quiet, shy. And it just kind of depended on where I was, what my surroundings were. But when I felt comfortable, I always felt like I can communicate, I can speak, that kind of thing. But obviously until you get older, you don't really think about communicating and speaking in the same way you do when you're younger. And so when you're older, it seems like you start to put pressure on yourself, even in middle school, teenage years, high school, when you start having to do presentations and stuff, and it becomes almost something like that everybody acts like is very scary. And I don't know why we do that, but we, at some point we start making it something that people should be scared of, or like, oh, it's so nerve wracking. But I really didn't do any speaking or anything like that outside of school. I remember taking my first speaking class in my freshman year at Florida State. And I think I got a B, but I really didn't do very well in it. Like I always felt uncomfortable. We had to do like four speeches. We would do like a toast. We would do a persuasive speech, an informational speech, that kind of thing. And I remember really not knowing, I think putting more pressure on myself instead of just thinking about communicating. It was like, well, I'm speaking. I'm in front of people. Like there's like this different mentality, which I think that's a big part of what has changed for me over the years, is kind of the mentality of how I approach it. But I never really spoke or preached or did anything until, I don't know, until I was probably out of college, or maybe one time in college, but basically until I was like 23, 24. And I got a couple of opportunities, and for the most part, I butchered it and didn't probably do very well. Again, putting a ton of pressure on myself, like, oh, well, now I'm in front of people. And like, I would separate that from, I talked in front of people all the time in small groups and in leadership type things all the time. And I would have no problem, and I could do it off the cuff and all that kind of stuff. But then it's like, oh, well, you're speaking on something and you have to prepare for it. And all of a sudden in my mind, it was like, oh, well, this is so different. This is really scary. And so I'd be super nervous, and I would be kind of stuttering through it and looking at my notes a lot. As I got more opportunities to do it, I started working at the church, and my boss at the time gave me some opportunities. I wasn't really looking for them or trying to do them, but he gave me opportunities about once a month. So I started to get into a rhythm of doing it. And I think, personally, in my faith, I would say 99% of this comes from God and not myself. However, from just a practical standpoint, I started doing it more and more and more. And there was a phase of about a year where I just felt like there was a big leap in my ability and a big leap in my comfort in speaking. And some of that came from just listening more intentionally to other speakers and other preachers and hearing different styles. But I think the biggest thing out of everything for me was I listened to this speaker who certainly comes across as very just himself when he preaches. And he has a large following in America and all that kind of stuff. And lots of people listen to him, but he comes across very natural. And the thing I took from him is not that I wanted to talk like him, but it was that I need to be natural to who I am. Like I need to talk the way I would talk, use the jokes I would use the lingo I would use and the slang I would use in a normal conversation. And I think really the big thing that came to me was, okay, when I talk to a small group of people, I need to a certain degree, I need to just take that and put it on stage, and obviously more practiced and a little bit more prepared, but I need to take that personality and the way I speak, and I need to put that into public speaking. And that was kind of like the light bulb moment. And I started just really being myself on stage. And that was about, I don't know, that was probably about 6 or 7 years ago now, but and then, of course, over the past 6 or 7 years, more and more opportunities and more different venues and with different audiences. And then there's obviously the practice makes perfect type thing, and just or the practice makes better. And so just doing it over and over and over again and preparing and speaking and having different scenarios come up and different types of responses from crowds and different groups and different topics and all that kind of stuff has continued to sharpen that tool. But I think really the big things along the way that really helped me were being myself and realizing that, like, we all communicate all the time. Like, I know a lot of people think, well, I'm not a public speaker. Well, do you ever talk on the phone to anybody? Do you ever lead meetings? Do you ever make presentations, even to like a couple of people? Do you lead some kind of book group or Bible study or, I don't know, any kind of group? Do you talk to people? If you talk to people, you know how to communicate, and some are better than others. But like, I think public speaking is the scary phrase and communication isn't so scary. And so if people stop kind of getting in the, well, I'm not good at public speaking, kind of think, okay, well, I just need to communicate my point and that kind of thing. I think that really made a big difference for me.
Yeah, well, beautiful. And just curious, like you mentioned, your father was a preacher. Was your grandfather, been a line of preachers, or if not, how did your father get into it?
My mom's father was not a preacher, but he was very involved in church. But neither of my grandfathers were pastors or preachers. My dad, I think, just felt called into it when he was in high school or college. But he went to college for it, started straight out of it, and has been doing it for, you know, almost 40 years now. And so mine was a little bit different because I didn't intend on going into that. I'm sure you can imagine. It's really whenever your dad or your mom does anything, you get asked, are you going to do that too? And so growing up, everybody's like, are you going to be a pastor? And I was like, goodness, no, like, no way. I don't want to do that. I would never want to talk in front of people. I would not want to do that's not a cool job. I'd rather do something else. But, you know, things change.
Exactly. And I know that you speak to different groups like students and adults. What's your kind of advice on the different ways to communicate to the different age groups?
Students are a lot harder to talk to than adults. Adults, like, I always kind of say, like, adults, they're kind of easy to get to laugh, and they're easy to kind of get to engage. But students, I mean, well, students have these and so do adults, but students are really on those. And students just have kind of a different sense of humor and a different level of what engages them. And so with students, it's a lot tougher. Something that I've recently been doing with our students is, and recently, I mean, probably like the last 6 months, is I'm really big on repetition, like phrasing, like me saying things over and over again, which I kind of do in any speaking and reiterating points. But the big thing I've been doing is, like, if I have a point or if I have a big word for the night, like last week I preached a sermon and like the key word was champion. And so when I first got to champion in my sermon, I tell them all to say champion. And then if I don't get a good response, I say it again. And sometimes I'll have them repeat it 3 or 4 times. And recently I went and preached at a chapel, like a big private school recently. And they meet at 8:45 in the morning. And private schools, you know, half the kids are there and their parents sent them there because they may be Christian, and the other half sent their kids there because they don't want them to be in public school or whatever. And so they really have no interest in the chapel or the faith side of it. And I know that when I go in, because I went to a private school for a couple of years in middle school. And so I go in knowing like this is like the toughest audience. And so before I even started preaching the sermon, I had them all stand up, or it might've even been in the middle of the sermon. I said, okay, everybody stand up, you know, and then I start doing some stuff I learned in yoga, some stretches over here. And like, I have them, you know, taking deep breaths and all this kind of stuff. And then I have them all sit back down, and then I continue. And stuff like that has been, even if they're like, they groan or whatever, like stuff like that engages students and really all people, because physically we lose. I mean, I speak all the time, but when I listen to someone speak, I lose my attention like that. Like, I'm just out. And so sometimes we have to be drawn back in, and the physical really helps us. Like, even if it's just, hey, pick up a pen and write down something that happened to you this week, or something to do with the subject I'm speaking on, or stand up and do this, or, you know, give somebody a high five, or say something to the person you came with, or whatever, like things like that, that get people engaged. That's like, that has to happen repeatedly through a talk, or else we just kind of zone out. And at least I do. I'm super ADD when it comes to anybody speaking. And, you know, 5 minutes in, I'm kind of just like looking at my phone, and then I look back up and I'm like, what's he talking about? And so, like, those cues of, hey, repeat this, say this, think about this, stand up in the middle of a.
So sorry about that. We just had a technology failure, but these things happen.
Yeah.
All is good. So since we're having a technical issue, I'm curious, because of the current circumstances, you've obviously had to do some of your stuff online. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how you found that and trying to connect? Because, like, when you're doing it online, are people's cameras on, or is it that they're off and they only see you?
So we have we use a streaming service, basically, that streams the service and streams any content that we have through our website. And so they basically see what our people on our cameras are shooting. And so basically we shoot a normal Sunday service. And so when no one was in the room, that's how we did it. Now that there are people in the room, we're still doing that, so people can come or stay at home and watch. With students, it's really hard, because although students like to be online, and everybody says, you know, Generation Z is always online, they're always on their phone, they like very, very short, entertaining types of content, like on YouTube, that all of, you know, the YouTube influencers and everything do. But they're really not interested in watching school, worship, long speeches, anything online. They're better with that in person, and that's what they prefer. So it was really hard with them, and we did it, but it was very difficult. With adults, I think it's a little bit easier, because they're a little bit more attuned to, like, paying attention and stuff like that, and watching for long periods of time, and being a little bit more disciplined with that. And so yeah, it kind of depends. Like, when it was online only, I would do some things where, you know, I might tell them to do something in the chat space, or kind of refer to what's going on at home and that kind of thing. And, you know, what are you eating for breakfast? That, you know, that kind of stuff, or trying to look more into the cameras. But when people are in the room, to a certain degree, it kind of goes back to normal. Or I'll address both, you know, I'll say, you know, welcome to people in the room online. I might say something for in the room, but if it's different for people that are online, I might kind of just translate that for where they are, or whatever room they're sitting in, or whatever context they're sitting in. So, but it's certainly difficult. I think the thing we tried to do a lot of is more like organic stuff, like Zooms and Instagram Live and Facebook Live, where you're like talking straight to people, and it's a little bit more. I think anything with online, I certainly am not an expert on it, because I don't know if anybody is. It's really just tough to relate to people and connect to people when you can't see them, when you're through a screen, when they have their kids running around the house and they're making breakfast and they're trying to watch something. And so I think the more that you can do that's just organic and natural, and maybe a little bit less professional, I think that might work a little bit more, just like some of the less produced stuff that you see on social media that seems to do well on Instagram and on TikTok and on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. I think those have the ability to kind of connect to people a little bit more when they're behind a screen, because they're able to see you as a person and not someone up on a stage. And so, but it's certainly been hard, and I'm not sure anybody's fully figured out how to best relate to their people, whether they, you know, run an organization or run a church or, you know, are a motivational speaker or, whatever else they do. I don't know that anybody's really figured out the best way to do it now, but, I guess we're all learning and trying to make up new ways of doing things. So.
I think the problem with the social media, like, especially, well, I'm not sure in America, but I know that in Ireland, like, Snapchat is very popular. TikTok now is taken off. But to be on all of these platforms, you're spending hours. So you're trying to engage. Because, like, for me, I mean, I have the four podcasts. I'm trying to promote you can't do them all. You know, I think you have to master one and maybe tiptoe on the other few. But to do the whole lot, it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. So basically, like, for our students, we just do Instagram and TikTok because that's where most of them are. They're not on Facebook.
Do the TikTok live. Is that what you do? Is it?
The TikTok is more produced stuff, but we might take a talk and chop it up into a 40-second clip.
Yeah, and like, you're limited just to 1 minute on TikTok, just for those that don't know about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what they're used to. So they're like, we put up a little video. There was like a little 3-minute kind of testimonial short sermon that a student did, an 18-year-old, and we chopped it up into like 40 or 50 seconds and put the words on it so you could see it and put music behind it and put it on TikTok and got like 60,000 views. And we only had, like, at the time we just started our TikTok, we had like 80 followers. And so, like, we had all these people that saw it because of the way that TikTok is. It's very consumable and quick, and you see something and then it goes to somebody else and all that kind of stuff. And so that's the kind of stuff we have to try to do with students and even adults. Like, you might have a 10-minute video, but the average viewing time is 45 seconds. So you're going to get them for a short amount of time. You got to figure out how to make those videos and those things very engaging and very as short as possible so that people will actually get the message. You can't just be like, oh, I'll just post my 40-minute sermon on there and assume people are going to watch it for 40 minutes. It's just not going to happen most of the time. So.
Exactly. And I don't know, are you aware of a new one that I've seen, Clubhouse? Have you heard of Clubhouse?
Vaguely, yeah, but I'm not really sure what it is.
It's basically like audio. So I think it would be perfect for you for preaching because you can basically create an event and you cannot put up the picture. It's just the voice. And then there's other people in the room that are listening and you can invite people up to speak. So I'm kind of in podcasting groups at the moment. There's people giving great tips, but there's ones for marketing. There's ones for crypto. There's everything, but it seems to be, but it's only on Apple at the moment. But of all, I mean, I never thought another thing could appear, but this seems to be the best one that I've come across. It's like very high caliber. And I think people then pick what they want. So, you know, Christianity, religion, whatever, you'd have the group, you go into them once and the people will start following you. So and just for others as well, whatever they're into, I can see that being the next big thing. I'd say it will be huge just from seeing, just operating it. Because the few people that I've talked to, like, they're saying, oh, I'm on it 10 hours a day. And when they were telling me about that, I was like, how could you be doing that? But I'm finding now that I'm on it about 3 hours a day because you're basically listening to, you know, specialists in the field and they're just sharing everything. Yeah. So like Gary Vaynerchuk to be on doing stuff on marketing. There's all one of the Shark Tank guys. So it's worth having a look at. And when you were doing the videos, then when there was no audience, I mean, it's different when the audience were there. Did you find it, you know, very strange when you just had the cameras and that there was no interaction?
So for me, not really, because, and one of my, like, this actually kind of plays into like one of my most important things that for my speaking process that I've learned over the years. But every time I preach or speak, I practice on a stage in an empty room. and I preach it the exact same way I would. I have the table, I have the chair, I have my notes, I hold a microphone. The microphone's not on, but I hold it just so that I'm like I'll be with one hand open and one hand with a mic. I pace, I walk around, I tell jokes. Like, I do everything the same way as I would on a Sunday. Not so that I'm exactly the same when I preach it, but so that I'm comfortable going through it. Because when I first started writing, I'd spend so much time looking at my outline and I'd just stare at it and I'd be like, okay. And I'd be thinking through every single part of it. Like, in this part, I'll say this and this, and I would spend forever. It's just so ridiculous looking back, but like then the first time I'd say it out loud was in front of people. And that just doesn't make sense. So at some point, I think I just did it by trial and error, but I started preaching my sermons before I was in the room. And now my standard is that I have to go through it fully at least twice before I preach it, maybe three times. But again, I do that on a stage in an empty room. And so when I started speaking in front of an empty room, like, people would ask me, was that weird? I'm like, no, I do it all the time. Like, it's really no big deal for me. And so that's good. But that was one of the most revolutionary things for me as a speaker. And I still think a lot of people that I talk to don't do it. They don't actually speak it out loud. And something that I'll do when I'm really struggling writing, I might have like 30% of an outline, and I even have like fillers in there, like tell a story here, stuff like that. And I'll just print it out, go into an empty room and just work through it. And it's terrible. Like, it's all over the place. I'm making stuff up as I go along. But like, when I get done with that, more often than not, I know where I need to focus, what I need to get rid of, what I need to add. And I actually get more done by practicing it once than by spending 3 hours working on an outline and that kind of stuff, because then I start saying it. And sometimes I say stuff and I'm like, oh, that was really good. I'm going to add that to my notes. And then sometimes I say stuff and I'm like, I'm so glad no one's in this room listening to me. That sounded so stupid. But that's been the biggest thing for me as a speaker, is just practicing. And even when I've preached something before, and I'm preaching it again 6 months later, practicing it again, because I might change some things up for a new audience or whatever. But that's been so helpful for me. And it has significantly lowered my preparation time is practicing. So.
How long are the sermons? Are they like an hour or?
The shortest I preach is 30 minutes and the longest I preach is like 45 minutes. Okay. But generally I try to, I end up generally like 35, 36, 37 minutes most of the time. So
how long do you think you actually spend with the preparation between the writing it out and the practice? How many times would you actually practice speaking in the room with your mic doing the?
I try to do 2 to 3 times before I actually do it. But it's kind of hard to say full preparation time, because we really, I really try to like have a prepared out approach. And so like maybe at the beginning of the year, I'll come up with my topics for the entire year. And so I'm going to spend 4 weeks talking about this, 6 weeks on this, that kind of thing. And so I have a rough estimate of like what I'm talking about. And then about 8 weeks out, I come up with, even if it's just a line or two, I come up with kind of the bottom line idea of each message. And then we get together, we do a creative process with a team. And then before the series of talks starts, about a week and a half before that, I want to have my outlines completely done. And so I'll have, and they may not be full outlines, but there may be kind of the skeleton of a sermon or a talk. And so I might have 4 or 5 of those. And those are all done before I get there. So when I get to the beginning of a week, when I get to Monday, I already know what I'm talking about, what my key, you know, scriptures or stories or illustrations are. I kind of have half my outline already done. So really at that point, it's just kind of putting meat on the bones, putting in a couple stories, doing a little bit of research, looking up some original language stuff from, you know, the Greek language or the Hebrew language or something, and then practicing it. And then as I practice it, I add some stuff, I take some stuff away. And so the week of, I don't necessarily spend a ton of time week to week, but when you add it all up and the preparation that goes back a couple of months, then it kind of spaces it out better, which is really helpful. That's kind of how I grew up learning about how to prepare. But I know that even when my father started, and even a lot of places around, like it's still very much like you get there Monday and you don't know. I mean, you go into the office on Monday, you don't know what you're talking about the next Sunday, and you have to kind of figure it out throughout the week, which is really stressful. And it can work. Like I do that sometimes. I'm doing that this week where I don't have a prepared topic for Sunday. And so I'm kind of writing it throughout this week for kind of like a standalone message. But that process really helps me because I see what I'm doing throughout the year. So it's kind of on my mind. And then a couple months out and then a couple weeks out, and then I get there the week of, and I'm really just, again, putting meat on the bones of the talk instead of trying to come up with a whole bunch of stuff and I'm on a time crunch and all that kind of stuff.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And I know we're in funny times at the moment, but I see that you've done retreats. So prior to this craziness, yeah, you would have organized a few retreats. Yeah.
Yeah. And like we would have done one. So we did one. We usually do it in the fall. And we would have done it so we did it in fall of 2019. We would have done it this past fall. We're going to do a different version of one in March. At least that's our plan, but it won't be like the overnight thing. It'll be more of an in-town type thing. But yeah, those are big because when we do our retreats, we come up with everything. So me and my team come up with, you know, the theme, put together the services, add in any, like, you know, anything that comes with it, anything that's on a screen, videos, graphics, giveaways, merchandise, t-shirts, small group conversation and leadership curriculum type stuff. We kind of do it all. So it's a big, pretty big project. But when it comes to the speaking side of it, I'm really big on, like, I've been to places where like they're supposed to have a topic, like you go to a camp or a retreat and they're supposed to have a topic, but it really doesn't match up with what you're talking about in your group sessions and they kind of don't go together. And I'm really obsessive about, like, I want each of my sermons to go completely together. And so when I write four sermons for a weekend and I'm going to preach them all within 48 hours, basically I write them almost as if they're one really, really long sermon so that when I'm picking up in the second one, it is like picking up where the first one left off. Because I think a lot of times that doesn't happen. And then it's just like me as an audience member, I just kind of get lost. I'm like, wait, like, what does this have to do with what he talked about yesterday? And what does this have to do with what he talked about this morning? And how does it connect? So like wherever I end one, I'm picking that up on the next one and the same thing. And so that's kind of my really important thing is when you have multiple talks is almost on the same subject, trying to make them like one really long, you know, 2.5 hour presentation and then chop it up into 30 minute segments or whatever. So that's helpful for me.
Okay. Very good. Another thing is like, you've got a team around you. So what's the best way of kind of recruiting and making sure that you've got the right people around you?
The most successful thing for me, and probably for our entire church, is really aiming to raise up from within. And so, because ultimately, like, people, you can bring in an outsider who's amazing and they may be completely qualified, but they still very much have a learning curve of what's the culture like, what's the mission, what's the vision, what are the values, like, what are we supposed to, how do I fit in, and that kind of thing. And sometimes they fit right in and they figure it out, and sometimes they don't. And so certainly we hire from the outside and all that kind of stuff a lot, but like currently on our team, like two of the people in particular, grew up in our church. They were students in our ministry. They were volunteers. They were interns. And then they became staff members part-time and then full-time. So, and so they really, they may be learning some of the actual how to do certain things along the way, which we all are, but in life, we're hopefully we're always learning, but they really understand this is what we're trying to get to. And this is what, this is how we do things and stuff like that. And so, you know, you can find a lot of people to do a certain, that are competent in a certain skill. But you can't always find people that fit in to a culture or that align with like a direction. And so I found that it's really helpful when you have people that already have that all figured out, and then they have a gift, and then you kind of develop that gift rather than bringing in a finished product who doesn't really align with where you're going or doesn't necessarily understand the vision and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Yeah, and just finally as well, you have a podcast. Yeah.
So not a podcast like our podcast, not an interview podcast, but yeah, all my sermons get put out on a podcast each week, and we post them on Mondays. And so it's our students podcast, or it says it's a United Student Worship. It's on Apple and Spotify. But if anybody was interested, I would encourage, go check it out, because when I preach, I don't really preach to like a 12-year-old. I preach kind of to an adult, and some things might be for students, but I don't change up like my style a ton when I preach to teenagers or 50-year-olds. Like, it's slightly different, but not a ton different. And so I definitely believe people can definitely get something out of what I preach to teenagers. So I wouldn't let that drive you away, but United Student Worship, if you search that on Apple or on Spotify, you can find all my sermons there. So yeah.
Perfect. And how can they get in contact with you? Where's your website where they can, I assume they'll be able to find your sermons online. So what's the best place to.
Yeah. If you go to RyanWSweat.com, Ryan, RyanWSweat.com. That's just got some information on me. It's got a few of my sermons. It's got a contact email and all that kind of stuff. And so that's probably the best place to go.
Perfect. Perfect. Listen, Ryan, it's been fantastic speaking with you.
Thank you.
So that's all for the Speaking Podcast. You'll find all our episodes on speakingpodcast.com or on BitChute or on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up, share with your friends. Until next week, take care.